Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues online at windowskansascity.com.
It's pretty hard to get worked up over a baseball team that is 27-67, and most of this summer, people in Kansas City have spent time talking about the Royals as it pertains to a new stadium or firing people, getting rid of the general manager. Is this ownership group even worthy of owning a baseball team? These are the discussions everybody's having as we're watching the Royals just go through an epically awful season, some 40 games under 500. But on Sunday, I reached a tipping point with something that I've been following all year, and I've kind of teased, I've tipped on this a few times during the podcast, and it's more than just a trend now, okay? It's one of those things where if you see something happen a couple of times, you say, okay, that could be a coincidence, whatever. If it happens over and over and over, it begins to look like a pattern and something that is willful, something that is intentional. Now, I cannot prove that this is intentional on behalf of the Royals. There's no way I can do that. I'm just giving you my opinion, and it involves Brady Singer, who was the Royals pitcher of the year last year and a bright young star. He had a phenomenal second half of last season. He has had some of the most wicked performances over the last year. Well, he certainly had the best performances of any Royals pitcher over the last year. And while he is not consistent and he's had a bad year this year because he's had more than a handful of outings where he's gone out there and just gotten rocked, you know, and given up 11 hits in four innings and six runs or something like that, he has still shown what he showed last year. He now has about 10 starts that really are exceptional starts out of 18. That's a little more than half. That's not where the Royals want him to be. It's not where I want him to be. He's gifted. He's got a gifted arm. He has something that other pitchers don't have. To harness that every single start and become a Cy Young caliber pitcher would be a huge leap for him. I don't know that I hope for that someday, but I'm telling you right now, I feel like if and when Brady Singer becomes a star, it is not going to be in Kansas City. If I'm this man, I am on the phone with my agent today. I'm calling the Major League Baseball Players Association, and I'm having a sit down with my manager and my general manager. I'm going, what the hell is going on here? Look, I know they want to develop this pitcher to go pitch nine innings. This is what everybody wants, right? You want a starting pitcher that can go out there and pitch complete games, a workhorse, 120 pitches if you need to, go out, win the game, and go deep. There is also, and I'm going to compare what the Royals are doing now to what Ned Yost did with a lot of his players. There is also an absolute role for a manager and a team, okay, to protect and build up young players. This is a pitcher who'd been struggling with confidence and doesn't have it game in and game out. Same arm, some games it's not there. I don't know what it is. He's clearly had a bummer of a year and he's been down with what's going on. His statistics are terrible. He's got a 5.80 earned run average. But I'm going to read you some starts that he's had, and I want to draw this full circle for you because this is how good Brady Singer can be. His first start, after he missed most of all of spring training because he went off to the World Baseball Classic where he sat and didn't pitch. Okay, I think he maybe pitched an inning the entire Classic. So they botched this. The Royals completely botched Brady Singer by letting him go do that. Remember, they didn't have him ready in the rotation. They were trying to get him up to speed. They had him on a pitch count his first start of the year, so he went five innings and gave up one run. That was his first start when he wasn't ready for the major league season. By choice, he wasn't ready. This is very soccer-like when they go and play that other stuff that doesn't matter. It means it just doesn't even resonate with me. April 25th, six innings pitched, one earned run. May 11th, six innings pitched, one earned run. May 16th, six innings pitched, two earned runs. Both of those runs were in the sixth inning. Next start, five scoreless innings. He gave up two in the sixth and was pulled. On June 4th, he went 5 2/3 scoreless. On June 16th, 5 1/3 with two runs. On June 27th, six innings pitched, no runs. July 2nd, seven innings pitched, one earned run. July 16th, seven innings pitched, zero earned runs. And then the Royals threw him back out there in the eighth inning, leading 7-0, I think, at the time. They won 8-4 on Sunday. They throw him back out there in the eighth inning. Why? Because they're trying to prove a point. Hey, you got to go eight. You got to go nine. You got to do whatever. No, we don't want to help him bring his numbers down. I'll get to the numbers in a moment. He's gone 7 scoreless. They put him back out there. And it's not like first runner on, let's get him out of the game to protect him. No, you're going to finish the inning. Your pitch count's low. We're going to make you do this. He gives up 4 runs and completely screws up his earned run average after he's exhausted on a humid 90-degree day after a rain delay to start the game. I can't even imagine that this is all accidental. This is not what you do to a player. The Royals are literally in arbitration alone with this pitcher. They are saving millions and millions of dollars, 40 games under 500, botching his statistics by running him too long in games. They're doing it. Now, listen, you may not care about a player or a pitcher or his contract or money or salary, but the bigger picture issue here is, why the hell aren't the Royals trying to help this guy? What's going on here? Is this about money? Is this a player they don't like? Is this somebody they're trying to really push and say, hey, if he can't pitch 9 innings, we're just going to let him walk here in a couple of years. He's of no use to us. I don't know what they're doing, but it's not what you do. All right, you're the Kansas City Royals. You're 40 games under 500. 7 innings of scoreless ball from your bright young pitcher is enough. If you put him back out there in the 8th, then I'm not going to jump up and down and scream and say he can't go back out in the 8th. 1 runner on base and you're out. Like, that's the only run you're going to give up today. I'm going to protect you. We've got this game won. It's 7-0. I don't want to hear about the bullpen, had a doubleheader the day before and all that. These guys all just had 5 days off from the All-Star break. I don't want to hear about that. I've got no time to hear anything about a bullpen that can't pitch 2 innings up 7-0. Okay? I don't want to hear that. That's a non-argument for me. I don't want to hear it. So what are they doing? Have they identified? Because you can't tank in baseball anymore. There's anti-tanking stuff because the draft lottery comes out. Like, the Royals could have the worst record this year and get the 5th draft choice because the lottery balls, the way they do the lottery with the bad teams. So they've made all these precautions to keep teams from throwing whatever. What the hell are the Royals doing with Brady Singer's money? Honest to God, they are stealing millions from this guy. Millions. And I think I'm the only one talking about it, but it's so obvious what they're doing. And yes, he has had bad games where he was bad early and gets bombed in the first inning or whatever. I'm not making some case that he's having a great year, but there is greatness there. We saw it last year for an extended period of time. He was fantastic again on Sunday, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he heats up and has a wonderful second half to this season and gets even more consistent. But when you know he's not a 9-inning guy, you know this. You've sat here and watched him in 10 starts. This guy has cruised along for 5 or 6 innings and then gets in some trouble. Protect him a little bit. Get him out of there. Is it punishment? What are they trying to do to him? You know what you have. You know what you have in this pitcher this year. You know what you have. When you get 6 or 7 scoreless innings out of Brady Singer, it's time to go. You don't leave him out there like a hangman to give up 4 runs in the 8th inning and screw up all his statistics. I'm sorry. Baseball players are paid off their statistics. A lot of Kansas City Royals fans are disappointed in Bobby Witt. They're like, how come he's not a star? How come he's not this or that? Well, very quietly, Bobby Witt is crushing it right now. He had another home run on Sunday. He's got a chance to be the only Royal ever with 30 home runs and 30 steals in a season. The steals is a dead lock. I think he's already close to there already. He's on pace right now for 28 home runs, but he's obviously heating up and got a chance to hit 30. So Bobby Witt is coming along. This was exactly the kind of day the Royals draw up and say, this is a peek to our future. This is who and what we are. And they just let Brady Singer go out there and hang himself. And his numbers, his ERA, he got no better. He got nothing. What was his ERA for the game? He gave up 4 runs in 8 innings, so that's like 4.3 or something. His ERA is 5.80. What'd it come down? 5.90 to 5.80. I know this is not really our concern, but this is now so obvious what they're doing with this guy. I think they're just robbing him blind. I think they're robbing him blind in arbitration, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is some sort of a tactic where the Royals know what they have, they know how to use him properly, and they go to him and say, hey, let's sign a 5-year contract. We'll offer you this kind of money, and he might take it. After a season with some bad numbers and whatnot, maybe he'll take it. And I cannot prove that the Royals are doing this. I can't tell you who's calling the shots or why, but it looks obvious as hell that they are hanging this guy out to dry. It just looks obvious as hell to me. And it's shameful. If that's what they're doing, it's shameful. And MLBPA should be involved in this. His agent ought to be making calls to the union. Somebody should be talking, like, what are we doing here to Brady? When you go to arbitration, the arbiter just looks at the numbers and compares you to other players and what they make. It's not a fair comparison. This guy's earned run average is almost 6. Okay? But we know what they have. Right? This is a guy with a golden arm. They got to figure out a way for him to be better and more consistent. But the way you do that, if you want to build confidence and create a star and make him a workhorse and hope that he's your ace someday, the way to do that is not to let him go out in the 8th inning and give up 4 runs and tell him he's got to finish the inning. Wow, was that bad. Anyway, I told you, it's hard to get too wound up about a baseball team this bad, but I cannot believe what's happening with Brady Singer. To just sit out there and have him eat an inning and get bombed like that, just crazy. All right, other sports nuggets from the weekend. I'm not the biggest tennis fan. I used to watch a lot of tennis, and I always loved Wimbledon. It's harder now. There really aren't great American players, so we're like it or not. If there's not great American players, we don't see much. But Novak Djokovic is a favorite of mine mainly because he wouldn't take the shot. He wouldn't take the COVID shot, and he couldn't get in America, and he's clearly conservative, and he's maybe the greatest of all time. What's he won, 7 Wimbledons or something? And I don't think he'd lost a match at Wimbledon in 6 years. I mean, he's just been on this streak. He's 36 years old. He's everything to love about sports, about freedom, about individual strength and exceptionalism. He's everything to love. And he gets into the final against the number 1 seed. Djokovic is the 2 seed. Carlos Alcaraz is just turned 20. And he's the number 1 rated player in the world. And he's never won Wimbledon or any of this, and he hadn't been really good on grass. Carlos Alcaraz, in a monster 5-set match, lasted all day. Alcaraz wins Wimbledon at age 20, and it was spectacular to see. It was one of those indelible moments, and it's since this guy's 20 and he just won Wimbledon, it's pretty obvious he's the next big thing. He's number 1 in the world. He's 20. Djokovic is 36. It was a great scene and a great setting. It's pretty cool. Alcaraz is from Spain. And he, at some point, as you get older, somebody's going to beat you. That's just how it works. And so this is the day that it happened, and it sort of felt like a changing the guard. Now, Djokovic has won plenty this year already, and he'll win again. But it was really, really wild to see a 20-year-old do that, and it's worth noting here. Worth noting. We had some crazy sports things happen or unique sports things happen over the weekend that you wouldn't normally make a big deal of, but they stood out this weekend. Another one was DeAndre Hopkins, the free agent wide receiver, who was waiting for the Chiefs to work out something with Chris Jones to see what kind of cap space they'd have and see if maybe he could play in Kansas City, by reports, has decided to play for the Tennessee Titans. They've offered him 2 years and 20-some million guaranteed, and I think he's of the belief that's going to be better than whatever the Chiefs could come up with anyway. Chiefs would want to do something incentive-laden. This is a guaranteed 2-year deal, and he is apparently headed to the Tennessee Titans, which you're just chasing money at that point because they don't even know who their quarterback is at Tennessee, and that's where DeAndre Hopkins has decided to go. There were some ridiculous, I mean ridiculous, things happen in golf this weekend. The first is obviously the American Century Championship. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are playing there. Steph Curry and Patrick Mahomes played in the match a couple of weeks ago. And I mentioned afterwards, I said, I don't even know what that was with Steph Curry. He looked out of sorts, uninterested, was playing terrible, didn't care. Mahomes was annoying and all that. And he just wasn't very good. And then he comes out in the American Century Championship and just plays lights out and wins the thing. Steph Curry on Saturday hit a hole-in-one. He hit a hole-in-one to take the lead. He stayed in the lead, but then found himself behind Marty Fish, the former tennis player, on the last hole. The last hole's a par 5. It's a short par 5. It's at altitude. Anybody can reach it in 2. I could reach it in 2. So Marty Fish gets in a little trouble. He's in the trees or something, has to punch out, but he's easily on his way to making a par, which is good for 1 point. And he's up 3. So even if Steph Curry makes a birdie, it's not going to be enough to win. Steph Curry has to eagle the par five. He's 140 out, and he hits his iron shot in there to about 18 feet. Marty Fish puts his ball on the green, misses his birdie putt, but taps in for par, gets 1 point, and he goes up by four. So it's real simple. This almost 20-foot putt is going to decide the tournament. Who wins? Marty Fish is going to win. If it doesn't go in, Steph Curry's going to win if it goes in. And he drains it right in the center of the cup and starts running around and going wild. And Steph Curry was absolutely amazing. It was amazing to watch the difference when he was really competing versus that thing they call the match, which was kind of a goofy, mic'd up, entertain the fans kind of thing. Completely different player. Steph Curry has, I've got so much respect for this. I'm not the biggest Steph Curry fan, but I've got so much respect that he has worked so hard to become such a great basketball player, and you can't count the hours and hours and hours of shooting to become the shooter and player that he is, that he somehow found the time and had the work ethic in a short off season, or maybe on some off days at home during the basketball season, to work on his golf game. And over the last decade or so playing in this thing, you know, he's become the best player in the field. He's done this with hard work. When he first showed up and played there, he was good. I think he finished like his first year maybe in the top 20 or something. Like, he had talent, but he didn't really have what it took to win this thing. And he does now. And it was really great to watch. And golf's a hard game. And that mattered to Steph Curry. I'm watching this thing. I'm like, I think he's enjoying winning this as much as winning the NBA Finals. I think he was so proud of himself for the work that he put in to find a way to win that thing. Was really cool. Steph Curry finished 80 points ahead of Patrick Mahomes. 80. Mahomes was not good. Travis Kelce was not good. How bad were they? And I think it's well documented now. They were on a drunk fest. It was party weekend. We got camp starting next week. Let's go blow this thing out. And Mahomes and Kelce did that. I'll play a clip for you here if you didn't see this. They interviewed him. Mahomes lost his voice. He doesn't have a great voice, but he lost his voice in Tahoe, trying to keep up with Travis Kelce, who reportedly went from the casino at 6:30 in the morning to his room to put his golf clothes on and then to his 8 a.m. tee time without warming up and no sleep. That's what everybody says Travis Kelce does. So they were running hard, man. The boys were running hard, and they played like crap. In fact, Ray Romano, the actor, from Everybody Loves Raymond, a notoriously bad golfer, beat them both. He finished ahead of Mahomes and Kelce both. On Sunday, they paired him up with Josh Allen. So you had Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and Travis Kelce playing together. And Josh Allen, I'll play this clip here. It's kind of a montage of some highlights and some interview stuff. You'll recognize the voices because you know Mahomes' voice and Kelce's voice. The other voice is Josh Allen. And he basically lets the whole world know that they're getting buzzed on suds while playing golf in Tahoe.
As Patrick Mahomes having a little bit of fun with his guy, Travis Kelce. Let's see the arm. Yeah, that's why the quarterback throws it and the tight end catches it, Peter.
It's fun because of the crowd here. You know, it always gets you juiced up, but we are running on fumes. At least I am. I don't know about this guy. He's got the little ones at home, so I already know it's a lot more work, but the fans bring it out of you, and it's always a good time.
I think I'm getting you hear my voice. It's already not great. I'm getting a little too old to hang out with Travis, so I figure that out.
And speaking of people who like to have a good time at this event.
That is so short. Oh, my gosh.
I'm back.
That's short.
The distinctive voice of Super Bowl MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mahomes at 13.
Great shot, Patrick. Not.
The running commentary?
Yes, exactly. Travis Kelce for par.
Wow.
With authority.
The vibes are at an all-time high. The boys are buzzing.
Every time.
We're just out here having a good time, trying to play some golf. And it's not good golf, but it's golf.
Some good, some bad.
All golf is good golf, right?
There you go.
We're all about the highlights, just highlights only.
Just give me one shot per hole that keeps me coming back. You know what I'm saying? And 17 is the best, I promise you. We're about to turn this thing up right now.
That was just a bunch of nonsense. He just made all that up on the spot. Great, great professional. He was on SNL. He knows how to do it nowadays.
Okay, what's your professional answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have a great time. We're going to have a great time. We're going to enjoy it. and we're trying to win some football games. This is what we do.
All right, well, what I want to see you guys do is hit a great shot on 17. Good luck.
I don't know about that. We'll see.
Those three are like fraternity brothers out there. And the party that is Kelce, Mahomes, and Allen. Par putt now for Mahomes. See how speedy that is.
Travis Kelce. See if he can make a birdie putt here at the par four. Come on, Travis.
This Patrick Mahomes for par. This would get him back to even. Oh!
Tell you what, that was pretty good putting out of that brush.
Well, you can't have it all, Pat.
What do you mean? He does, Jim.
He really does, doesn't he?
All right, that's our guys in Lake Tahoe at the American Century Championship, which is a Kansas City company. The tournament always has a big Kansas City flair because of American Century. There's a large contingent of executives and such from American Century there. They're now partnering with Patrick Mahomes because, of course, they are. They want to invest his money for him. Great idea. American Century knows what they're doing. These are good folks. This has been a great company in Kansas City for a long time. It is basically, it's put, the whole tournament is put on by Kansas Cityans. And so pretty cool stuff there with our boys. They've got scoreboard. They've won two Super Bowls, been to another. They can do whatever they want in their spare time. Training camp starts this week. Rookies report on Tuesday. Veterans must be in later this week. I think Travis Kelce's probably going to sleep for a couple of days and then be ready to go. I don't doubt anything with these guys. They will get it done. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues is brought to you by 360 Document Solutions. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Mark Lindkus is the owner, and you can reach him just by calling him directly. What a great thing that is. Instead of working with some giant corporation where you maybe get to get in a chat room or try to email somebody, and if you do talk to somebody, they're in India or something. No. Mark's right here. For any business in Missouri, Kansas, or Oklahoma, they'd love to work with you with copiers, printers, voiceover, IP solutions, phone systems, and they service what they sell. You have a contact person. You can call the owner. 913-745-5344. Online at 360documentsolutions.com. Ron Buck and his team over at Buck Roofing. Boy, we had a lot of rain. 50-mile-an-hour, 60-mile-an-hour winds on Friday. Woo! If you got some trees fell over on your roof or any shingle damage or see something up there, man, you might want to have Ron out right now. Give him a call. They'll get a free inspection for you to see what's going on after that storm. 913-384-2680. That's 913-384-2680. And then we got even more rain on Sunday after the high winds on Friday. So if you saw some, you know, leaves, tree branches, anything up on your roof like that, or have trees around your house, you really should have them out to inspect that roof after that storm because you don't know what may have happened up there. 913-384-2680. You'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fix the roof over your head. And my good friends at Finch Knife Company, online at finchknifeco.com. Spencer and Steve have a great Kansas City company. These dudes are awesome conservatives and American patriots. Every one of their knives is modeled after something Americana, right? That's basically what they are. Everything's an homage to something American. We've got the Hatfield and McCoy series of knives. The Flint series is out. You're going to love these. Online at finchknifeco.com. They're absolutely beautiful, beautiful pocket knives. Great to carry every day or collect them all. A lot of people have cases. They love to collect beautiful pocket knives like this. They have mother of pearl handles, wood, bone, all kinds of unique finishes. The Flint series has a satin finish and a titanium clip on it. Just spectacular knives. Keep life from getting dull. Online at finchknifeco.com or visit Shields in Overland Park, the Bullet Hole in Mission, or Teague Tractor in Belton. Okay, I mentioned there was a lot going on in golf, so our other sports note here is the Scottish Open. Okay, let me fast forward to today. This is Monday. This week is the British Open. So before that, the Scottish Open comes the week before because a lot of the players like to travel early, go over there, and get settled in, time adjustment, all that other stuff. So this is a big field at the Scottish Open. Scottie Scheffler's there. Tommy Fleetwood was up on the leaderboard. Rory McIlroy. This was a good tournament. Some big names are playing in this thing. And McIlroy is playing against a little-known Scottish player that was like a local guy, and they were all rooting for him. He's been on the DP World Tour. It doesn't matter. about him, but this guy hits an incredible shot with a 5-wood or something on 18. There's only been one birdie on 18 all day. And this dude hits it up there to 4 feet, and he makes the putt to take a one-shot lead on Rory McIlroy, who's several holes behind him. Rory pars 16. He gets to 17, and he sticks a putt right in the center of the cup for birdie and becomes tied for the lead. Then he goes to 18, keeping in mind that it's the hardest hole on the course, and only two birdies have been made on this hole all day by the entire field. McIlroy steps away from his drive about three times. The wind is howling 27 miles an hour in his face. It's a long par four, 480-some yards, and he's going dead into the wind. He rips it as hard as he can. It stays just off the side of the fairway. It's a good lie, the whole deal. He's a couple hundred yards out, and he hits, in golf terms, what we would call a stinger. It's just a low, hammered iron. He takes a 2-iron and just burns this baby. It never gets that high off the ground, really. But he just murders it. I mean, you could tell the sound. Emilio Grillo is another player, and he put on Twitter after this on a loop that just the sound it made, the swing. He said, "I'm going to watch this over and over and over on my phone until my battery dies. Like, I want to watch this 1,000 times." This was a pro shot. He hit this stinger with a 2-iron, almost 200 yards, up to, I don't know, 8 or 10 feet. It was one remarkable golf shot. And then he steps up over it and makes the putt and finishes birdie, and wins the Scottish Open. Rory McIlroy was terrific. He is a great player. It is remarkable that he's maybe the best player in the world right now. Maybe it's Scottie Scheffler. We can argue depending on who's hot at any given moment. But at his age, it's remarkable that he has played this well, won this many tournaments, and he hasn't won a major in 9 years. It's unbelievable. The British Open is this week. You would think that Rory's the favorite, but nobody's ever won the Scottish and the British back-to-back. It's almost like a jinx. But man, is he hitting shots that other guys can't hit. It was really, really, really fun to watch. I want to thank Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, for being a sponsor of KKHI from almost the very beginning of the podcast. Mike and his team at Roberts Robinson, they're just going to treat you great. If you're looking for any General Motors product, give them a call at Roberts Robinson. They're going to give you the free lifetime warranty. They'll deliver the car to wherever you live. In many cases, you don't ever have to go to Excelsior Springs if you don't want. You can work with them on the phone. They can build your car for you, have it delivered to the dealership, and you can go there and pick it up, or they'll send it right to your house. They'll drive it right to you and get it right to you. They just want to make it easy. That's what they're all about. At Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, 816-826-1563. They're the home of the lifetime warranty, absolutely free and included. Back 9 of Element is your custom builder. If you're thinking about building a new home, building a commercial property, or if you just got an idea, some land you want to develop, you should call TJ, see what he thinks. And maybe you can wind up partnering up on something really cool. TJ's got a lot of great creative ideas. He basically executes your dream for you. You say, this is my dream. This is what I'm looking for. From start of design until finish of construction, they handle everything at back9development.com. Back9development.com. Just call TJ, 785-236-0161. Say, hey, do you want to have lunch? I want to talk this over with you. Let's go to lunch. Let's see about this. He might be your guy. Back9development.com. And Amazing Garage Floors, online at amazinggaragefloors.net. Epoxy flooring, veteran-owned and operated. They've been in business over 17 years. They've done so many garage floors. They're so good at this. And they also seal your concrete. If your driveway and sidewalks need a little protection, they have CLRX, and they'll take really good care of you with that as well this summer. One call does it all, 913-901-7139. What's it going to hurt? Just to get the bid. Find out what your dream garage floor may cost or what it would look like. Amazing Garage Floors. Stop delaying on this, guys. I'm telling you, this is going to be the best thing you ever did. You're going to love your garage if you get an Amazing Garage Floor. AmazingGarageFloors.net. All right, on to the news, and we'll start today with Woke Alert. The Wokesters were out all weekend and drumming up all kinds of mayhem in places like Jackson County, Missouri, where they want to tear down the statues of Andrew Jackson, our seventh president. He got to come down. Andrew Jackson's got to come down. We got statues up That man was a slave owner. You got to come down. Actually, the more interesting thing about Andrew Jackson, historically, is he killed a man once in a duel. Like a real pistol duel. They were apparently arguing over a horse race. And the other man, I think his name was Dixon or Dickinson, the other man, I think, made some sort of crack about Andrew Jackson's wife. And then Andrew Jackson challenged him to a duel. The other man shot Jackson first, but he hit him in the shoulder. Non-life-threatening. That's when Jackson drilled the guy and killed him. You want to take a statue down because the guy's a killer? I don't know. I guess duels were legal? Because it happened. That's Andrew Jackson. We're going to take down the statues in Jackson County now? This is great. I think they're going to send it to the voters. Hey, if the voters want to take them down, I'm all about democracy. Let's do that. That's better than somebody just saying they're coming down. If you want to vote on this and you're offended by Andrew Jackson statues and you want him out and you get enough people to the polls to vote, go for it. I can't imagine that's going to be on the ballot. Is that what they're talking about doing? I don't know how they'll do it. Seems to me like that would be something Frank White would say. Jackson County executive, done. They're coming down. Then they came up with this idea. We'll take them down, but we're going to remain Jackson County. And we'll tell everybody that it's named after Bo Jackson. Yeah, that's a silent pause for effect. I'm not making that up. That was not a joke. There's no humor in that. They're literally suggesting keeping the name Jackson County, but telling everyone it's named after Bo Jackson, who's never lived in Jackson County. The short time he was in Kansas City, he lived in Leawood. I can't think of anything dumber than keeping Jackson County over Bo Jackson. I go to the directory and let's just pick out some random person named Jackson that lives here today and name it after them. I'm okay with that. I think Jackson Mahomes lived in Jackson County for a while. Bo Jackson? See, when you get this woke and you worry about stupid stuff like that, you try to, they say if you lie, you just got to keep lying your way out. This isn't lying, but boy, when you come up with a stupid idea, it takes even dumber ideas to finish the deal. And that's where they are. If they're seriously considering keeping Jackson County and having it named after Bo Jackson, I don't even have time for that story anymore. That's beyond belief that somebody's that woke and stupid. In Portland, which is known to be very white and very woke, they have a school board, but they got a problem at one of their schools. The principal wanted to fire a black teacher. The black teacher previously had been suspended for 2 years, I'm sorry, probation for 2 years by the State of Oregon School Board, previously accused and placed on probation for physical misconduct involving students and neglect of duty. The principal wants to fire the teacher. The superintendent of the school district wants to fire the teacher. This teacher was calling in sick and working at another job. Okay? You're getting paid to be a teacher, but you're using all your union benefits and sick days and all that, and you're going off and you're doing other work and making money on the side those days. Now, I appreciate the hustle, but this is a teacher that's been in trouble. For 7 years, this has been a problem teacher. Principal wants to fire him. The superintendent's okay with that. The school board votes 4-3 that you can't fire him. You can't fire our black teacher. No, there was no other reason. They started citing a bunch of statistics about the district, and the school he's at is only 40% white. 60% of the students there are people of color. And it's a rare school in that district. Most of the schools are pretty white, apparently. And so this is a rare school. And they're like, nope, can't do it. We need to keep that black teacher right there at that school where most of the black kids are. To me, on the surface, it just sounds incredibly racist to say, oh, well, that's where the black students are. We got to keep a black teacher. I don't even get it. But they voted 4-3. The man saved his job. That isn't the real problem. The problem is what happens when woke policies are implemented. So that particular teacher, and man, that's not the real problem. The problem is What are you now saying about the authority of the principal at your school for every other teacher in the district? What are you saying to white teachers versus black teachers or brown teachers? What is the message and what is the cause and effect of this policy? If we're just saying the board's going to vote to keep anybody that's a minority, no matter what they do, what kind of morale do you have with the rest of your teachers? It's a terrible thing. They're trying to be virtuous and they're doing the opposite. They're harming, again, I don't care what you do, how you live, whatever, as long as you don't hurt other people. This hurts the other teachers. This is bad for that school district. I'd leave immediately. I'd just flatly, if I was a good teacher, a shiny record, the whole deal, there's got to be some suburbs, there's got to be some places nearby other than that district where you get hired immediately. I'd just be gone. I would leave this board so fast and say, nope, that's not the rules I'm working under. Doesn't work like that. No. This guy has been on 2 years probation, physical misconduct involving students, neglect of duty, and now he's calling in sick and working another job while he's supposedly sick. No. No. He's got to go. A teacher needs to be fired, and that board will not do it. Oh, you remember a couple weeks ago there was a new social media platform to take on Twitter called Threads? Mark Zuckerberg started it, the guy that owns Facebook, Meta, the parent corporation. Zuckerberg's a billionaire, and he's been in this fight with Elon Musk, and he's like, I'll take on Twitter because liberals don't like Twitter anymore, but they can't live without it, which is kind of fun because it's where everybody is. It is the world's town square. It is. So Zuck decides after Musk gets Twitter, he's going to start his own thing up against Twitter. Everybody's done this. Trump did it with Truth Social. Parler's out there. There's a bunch of different sites that have tried to take on Twitter. And they're making money and doing okay, but they're still not Twitter. They're just not Twitter. So the left goes crazy. This thing debuts and they're so excited. They're like, oh, there was 100 million engagements the first day of Threads. It's called Threads. 100 million engagements on the first day. They're like, oh boy, that's the end of Twitter. And most people stepped back from it and said, well, this won't work because there's no free and open exchange. The only people that are going to be on Threads, it's like the only people on Truth Social are conservatives. So it isn't Twitter either. You may like it. You may like it a lot because it's all conservatives and it's a safe place to be. But it's never challenged. So Threads is the same. It's just going to be a bunch of liberals and they all go there and they're like, oh, we're all going to leave Twitter and we're going to do this. Like the first day they had 100 million some engagements or something. I don't know how they judge this stuff or searches, whatever. It has just gone off a cliff since the first day. The interest in Threads, I think it's been 2 weeks. I saw a chart, a graph, is down 96% from its first day. It's like it came, it went, rest in peace. I mean, it's remarkable, really. It's just going to be a glass bubble for some liberals, mostly media members. That's what it will be. But they can't. Anybody out there trying to make a living as an influencer or in media or whatever, you can't leave Twitter. You can't leave Twitter. You just can't. I think that's kind of funny because, you know, the news portrayed right away, oh, Zuck's taking care of Musk. This thing's over. Threads is here to save the world. That's the way it was portrayed for about 36 hours. And have you noticed you haven't heard one word about it the last 10 days? It is just flat tanked off a cliff. On Friday, Blaze TV had a live summit with presidential candidates in the Republican Party. Tucker Carlson came in to be the host of this. It was in front of a huge audience. It was streamed on Blaze TV, which is Glenn Beck's outfit. And a whole bunch of candidates showed up. Trump didn't come. Okay. Tucker Carlson has blasted Chris Christie for not talking with him. Tucker Carlson has called Chris Christie, quote, a blustery coward, end quote, because he will not discuss with me the Ukraine war. Chris Christie's pro-war, baby. He is a warmongering war machine dude. He loves him some war. He loves the war. And so Christie won't talk to Tucker and just dodge this event. Well, Chris Christie probably did the right thing because Mike Pence showed up and started talking about tanks and needing more tanks. And we got to get these tanks to the Ukrainians. And Tucker says, he just interrupts me. He goes, excuse me, Mr. Vice President, you're running for president of the United States. And we have every large American city over the last 3 years that has just crumbled and fallen apart. We have homelessness. We have crime. We have fires. We have police forces with officers leaving right and left. He says the American cities in the last 3 years have basically crumbled. They're in worse shape than many places in Ukraine. And you're worried about tanks in Ukraine? And Pence essentially says, that's not my problem. And then he starts talking about the tanks again. And he's trying to back away from it and say, oh, that's not what I meant. But it came up, what he basically said was, I don't care about the American cities. I'm worried about Ukraine and tanks. Mike Pence, if he ever had a chance, which I don't think he did, ended his chance right there. It just, in an instant with Tucker, ended. It was over. When he said that that American cities are not his concern, you're done. Asa Hutchinson, who doesn't have a chance and nobody knows who he is, also had a moment with Tucker Carlson. They were talking about the COVID jabs. And I think Asa Hutchinson has bragged around that he's, you know, had like five boosters or something. Like he's jab, 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 jab. And Tucker's like, so how many times have you taken the shot? And Hutchinson doesn't want to answer it. You know he doesn't want to answer because he answers with a question. He says, well, how many times have you taken it, Tucker? And Tucker said, zero. And it became a meme all over social media. And they played music, and it's like Tucker dancing. That was the end of Asa Hutchinson. Vivek Ramaswamy handled it well. Vivek Ramaswamy and Tucker Carlson together talking about all of these issues, it's like, thank God there are some really smart conservatives out there. Really smart dudes. Like this, I could watch those two all day. And I think they have a mutual respect. And you can't trip up Ramaswamy. You can't. He's really sharp. He's on it. He really, really knows. I love his future. I think Vivek Ramaswamy, if he wants to stay in politics, I think he could be the future of our party. He is very young. Man, I would be proud to call him president. I'd love that guy. I absolutely just love that guy. And I've said this, I think, you know, Trump's going to be the nominee, it looks like. And would he consider Ramaswamy as a running mate? Maybe. There's a vote there to be cultivated. The Indian American vote is growing and growing and growing. That's to be cultivated. But what I'd really love to see is if he hired him as chief of staff. I think Ramaswamy would be an unbelievable chief of staff for Trump. I think he'd be phenomenal. But this event happened, and it was just so great to watch Tucker push these guys, these warmongers on Ukraine. It was phenomenal. The clips are all over the internet if you want to go see him. But Tucker somehow, I don't know how the lawsuits are all going to end. He didn't go away. He's in a different place, but he certainly hasn't gone away. You literally, if you were watching any of this on Friday, you were thinking, as it was just him one-on-one on the stage with the candidate. And you're literally thinking, well, I want Tucker to run, not Mike Pence. I want Tucker to run, not Asia Hutchinson. I want Tucker to run, not Nikki Haley. I mean, just one after another, you're like, no, I want Tucker to run. It almost looked like he was debating him. It almost looked like he was running for president, or he's going to announce he is. Now, I think Tucker's smarter than that. I think Ron DeSantis made a terrible mistake. I think he should have stayed out this year. I think he should have stayed out and just waited his turn. I think he's hurting his brand by going out and losing to Trump in the fashion that he's going to lose to Trump. I do. I think now maybe it's good practice for next time around, because he's not a great campaigner or politician, right? He's a great governor, and I think Ron DeSantis would be a great president, but he's not a great politician. He's really not. And it is true. He was losing in Florida and wasn't going to be the nominee and the governor until Trump endorsed him. That is true. That is absolutely true. So fun stuff going on. All right, our final is going to be brought to you by EarthFX Outdoor, your new landscaping company, online at eeoutdoor.com. They can build anything from plants and trees to hardscapes. Outdoor kitchens, fire pits, they do it all. Ponds, water features, retaining walls. EEOutdoor.com, 816-478-7700. The new car image is online at thenewcarimage.com. Folks, he's doing this all the way through July. Brad says if you book a full interior detail, he's going to give you the ceramic coating absolutely free on the exterior. That can be a $300 to $500 service depending on the size of your vehicle. It does need to be done in the shade. Most of these he would like to do at his shop in Belton, but they can come to your garage and do it too. In many cases, they can come to your garage and do it. So if you'd like to do this, it's thenewcarimage.com. And don't forget, they're your personal concierge. If you sign up with the New Car Image, they'll schedule you every quarter to detail your car. They'll make sure that they'll do all your DMV services, all your tags, keep everything done for you. If you're busy or you have multiple cars or a fleet, they can handle it all for you. That's it. Just they're your personal concierge for your vehicle. Thenewcarimage.com, 816-499-1470. And Vacation Alchemy. If you're booking a trip to Central Florida for the theme parks, you might as well stay in a theme-styled home. Big homes. Groups up to 25 or 30 in one family can stay in some of the larger estate homes as part of VacationAlchemy.com. That's right. It's a different kind of name. VacationAlchemy.com. They have over a dozen houses to pick from if you're thinking about the holiday season or trying to squeeze in a little fun this summer. Orlando's a great place to go. It's beautiful weather pretty much year-round. And a lot of families love to vacation there. This is better than a resort, better than a hotel. Most of these houses have backyard pools, barbecue grills. You take the whole family, you stay in one place, and you wind up saving a lot of money that way. VacationAlchemy.com. Add the promo code KKHI for an additional 10% discount. Promo code KKHI. If you want to rent one of these beautiful homes, VacationAlchemy.com. KKHI is your promo code. My final was going to be the Baltimore Orioles. I got two, so it's not really a final. It was going to be the Baltimore Orioles. Have you seen these teams when they hit home run? They have like home run hats, or a team has some sort of thing that they do when somebody hits a home run, a secret handshake, whatever. Do you remember when you were in junior high and your buddies would come up and grab and twist your nipples? Just like being jerks, like when we were 10, 11, 12. Remember that? How silly we all were? That's what the Orioles are doing. You hit a home run, you come back to the dugout, they're all twisting your nipples. I've never seen like it. That's weird. But they're doing it. That's not our final. Jason Aldean is the final. He's a great American conservative. I am not a huge Jason Aldean fan of his music, but I understand why people love him and love his music. He can rock for a country guy. And his wife is like a social media superstar. Like, she's the biggest Trump-crazed woman you ever saw. These folks are all MAGA, all in, all day, 24-7, taking on all comers. They don't care. You don't like that? Don't buy my music. Don't come to my show. It is America, America, America. So there's a lot to love about Jason Aldean. A lot to love about this guy. He's playing in Hartford, Connecticut Saturday night. And he's singing Crazy Town, which is a loud rocking song about Nashville. And he backs off and he gives it a couple coughs. And then he can't go. And he turns with his guitar and he runs off stage. And apparently as soon as he got off stage, he went down. He had heat stroke. That's what the doctors are saying. They ended the concert right then and there. They apologized. They're going to reschedule. Everybody gets to come back. He's going to do a full show. They haven't announced the date yet that they'll do that in Hartford, but that was kind of it had to be a scary moment. Remember, he was the guy playing in Las Vegas when that shooter at Mandalay Bay opened fire from 20 stories up and killed all those people. Remember that? That was Jason Aldean on stage. He's had some stage incidents happen on stage, but we love Jason Aldean. We love his wife. We appreciate what they do for America and we wish him the very best. And sorry for those folks in Hartford that didn't get to see the end of the show with Jason Aldean. A new week is underway, folks, and guess what? Your Kansas City Chiefs are reporting to training camp. I can't wait to talk football on KKHI and, of course, all the other breaking news and stories that we're going to have this week, so we're very much looking forward to that. We've got the Chiefs training camp opening, and we're going to be talking a little bit more about Camo to College. They've got the charity golf tournament a week from Friday. We still need people to sign up for that golf tournament. We'd love to have you do that. So we'll be talking about that a little bit as well. CamoToCollege.org is the website. And we appreciate you being here. We're off and flying for the start of the new week. And we hope you're enjoying your summer at KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.